I made a complete fool of myself when I blinked.
I mean, wait, what? Wait, were you laughing off screen? My first time at the Grammys, nominated at the Grammy. We get there, and I'm in this incredible gown that I have just never worn anything like it. Like, when it touched my body, I was in tears because I couldn't imagine I was wearing something like this. And I'm on there, and I'm there with my manager, and I'm like, so when do we get on the red carpet, right? Because I'm just excited. This is so cool. I've only ever. She's like, look down, right?
You were on the carpet.
I looked down and I was like, oh, so we're on here. Okay, oh, we're on here. All right, cool. So yeah, I made a fool of myself. Luckily, there weren't that many people to hear me ask that question. We hadn't really gone too far down, but I was on it already for a good long time. Hey guys, this is Amanda Reefer. You might know me from Die Hard with Kendrick Lamar and Blast. I got new files on the way. Nyla, we need to talk though. What's going on, guys? Nyla Simone here with another episode of We Need to Talk. And today I got a very special guest all the way from Barbados.
Hey.
I have Amanda Reefer in the building. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing, Nyla?
I'm good. It's so good to see you. I love this outfit.
Thank you. I'm here just staring at your face and thinking to myself, how flawless.
Oh my God.
Like, teach me. I told you I need to
learn. I know.
Whatever that is, I want it.
Did you do your makeup this morning?
I did my makeup, but it don't look like your makeup.
It looks good though. It does. It looks
Thank
really,
you.
Really good. And
Thank
I love
you.
How you wear your hair.
Thank you.
Very funky. All your artwork is always like funky with a lot of personality
Thanks.
Too.
It's an ode to my culture and my heritage. In Barbados, we have historically we have these women who we call them Mobby women, and they carry like these, I don't know what you call them, containers of a drink called Mobby. It's like a traditional Bajan drink.
Okay.
And they go around town and it's huge and they serve it, and it was just like a historic thing for us, and it's just so much charm and charisma and grace, and so this is inspired by that.
Is
know?
It heavy?
No, it's not heavy.
Not heavy?
No.
What is the drink like made of?
Mobby.
Yeah.
It's actually like from the bark of a tree. It's like a syrup and you mix it with water. It's an acquired taste if you've never had it before.
Okay.
I'll say that. But it is one of our traditional drinks called Mobby.
Yeah. Fire.
But it's there are not many we don't really see it walking around like that in town anymore, but this is an ode to that.
I love that. Yeah. So is it more of like a tradition thing? So if you guys are celebrating, like people will bring it out.
No, you could drink Mobby anytime, girl. If you want Mobby, you could drink it morning, breakfast, noon, lunch, dinner, whatever you want.
Nice,
Mobby.
Okay, yeah. I really want to go to Barbados. I gotta admit, especially after hearing your beach snob stories, I'm like, now I gotta go check it out.
You have to, and just be prepared that once you go and you swim in our water, you will be ruined. Like you'll never want to swim in any other water unless you can see your whole full toes, all 10 of them, when you step in the water.
I mean, it makes sense. I think that's how it's supposed to be. So I'm like,
right.
Wow, this is fascinating because that's like all you know.
Yeah.
I love it. So growing up in Barbados, just tell me what that was like and how it kind of influenced you musically.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Barbados, like you've seen, it's a beautiful place. It's fantastic. It's a place that's big on community. And so I feel we're good to each other and we're good to visitors and people. And so when I was growing up, you know, I grew up in the country of Barbados, which is like around like a lot of agricultural land and like sugar cane fields. And so I was barefoot most of the time. I was definitely outdoors.
Did you like garden and farm?
Yeah, I didn't farm. My granny has a farm. So I used to visit her farm and like look at the pigs and all that stuff and the chickens and all that. Me personally, I wasn't farming,
okay.
But I was on a farm a lot of the time during my childhood. And then also it's such a small island. So not only do you get that country life and that country air and that rootedness to the earth, but we got the beach and we have like incredible food and culture, and everyone's always sharing. So I love that. And musically, you know, we grew up, we listening to, of course, the old school reggae records and dance hall records and Caribbean music, soca, calypso, spooge, you know, all of that is there. But then we're getting R&B and hip hop and from outside. So it's a real fusion of what we receive and what I grew up listening to and what has influenced me right now as well musically.
That makes sense because you're like, I can't really put a genre on like the type of music you make, because some things would be like more Caribbean, where more things is more pop. Some is more R&B. So I guess that makes sense based on what you grew up listening to.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a fusion. And the hardest question for me to answer is when people ask me like, what
what is your genre of music? So you saying that because you know music, yeah. So it's a difficult one for me as an artist to just put in titles, if that makes sense, because my approach to creation is wide and true to what I'm feeling, you know? So yeah. I like that you're able to recognize that blend. Thank you.
It's more like just feel good.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, well, it's feel good, it's feel vulnerable, it's feel independent and strong, it's feel attitude, it's feel love, it's feel sexy, it's feel all those things. It's not
all
just
the
feel
emotions.
Yeah, it's feel hurt too, yeah. You know? I definitely try to incorporate all of the elements of who I am and my experience as a young woman and my experience as an artist, all of the different emotions and feelings that I go through and have experienced in my music, you know? So it's not just one thing you're experiencing.
So what year did you create your first record and actually, like, put it out? Did it start in Barbados or did it start in America?
It actually started in Barbados. Okay. I was the lead singer of a band. We were straight out of secondary school, which for Americans is like high school, right?
Okay.
So straight out of high school. And we were, after school, we would go and we'd play in the basement. We would put up like songs on YouTube and stuff like that. And that's how we got discovered as a band. And we actually got signed over in the UK. We released a lot of music and we had a lot of success over there as a young feel-good pop band. That's what we made at the time. And then we, after a few years of doing that, we had a number one, 3 top 10s, 5 top 40s over in the UK and Europe. And we were doing that and touring. That was great. But after a few years, you know, we're growing up, our tastes are expanding and diverging. Mm. And so then I decided to do my own project, as well as the others in the band who are doing their other things. And I think that in addition to that, there was just a lot of growth that needed to happen. You know, you're young and you're figuring yourself out. And so a big part of that, skipping over that very long journey, was then going home to my family, reconnecting and just getting rooted and deciding what it was I was going to do as a young woman and to be able to stand on my own feet, you know, not defined by a band of guys around me, you know?
It was all guys?
It was all guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the lead singer. Yeah.
That had to be fun.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. Yeah. But it wasn't without its hardships and it wasn't without its struggles behind the scenes a lot too, you know?
Anytime you work with more than one creative, it's a, well, I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's understandable. But then on top of that, you're the only girl, so I feel like
it's
probably really hard to get your point
and
across.
And it's important, I think, for like young women to also be able to recognize when it is time for you to center in on your voice, you know? And it's not about dismissing anything else, but it's about recognizing there's a time as a young girl and there's a time as a young woman and stepping into your womanhood and being able to separate and stand on your own in order to really know that about yourself and know what you can and can't do, you know?
So that is a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey. And it's hard. Like, you feel when you rely on certain things for so long and certain people, you think that you don't know what to do without them.
Yeah.
And so for sure, it was a lot of recalibrating, a lot of rediscovering and decoding of things I may have picked up or weren't mine or, you know, all these different things. So for young women, I think it's important that you can express yourself authentically and use your voice because you have to. You have to.
That's so real. And also the world just doesn't encourage women to do that. So, like, a lot of times you'll second guess yourself because you don't see other vocal women, you know what I mean? Or they're called the bitch, but you're right. You got to, like, reach a point where it's, like, you got to be assertive and do what's best for you.
Yeah, like, look at what you're doing. You know, it's incredible. I love that. Like, that inspires me. And so, anyway, I set out on that journey, which was I had to really start from scratch, even though of this history we had, I had to walk away from a lot of things and really start my journey from scratch in all areas of life, to be honest, and in my career as well. And so I went home, recalibrated, and then I was like, I got to be in LA. Because I'm
Was it the pandemic?
No, this is before that.
Okay.
You know, I'm a
when something speaks to my heart, I gotta do it, and it doesn't always make sense, and it usually doesn't make sense. And when I think back on it, I'm like, I can't believe you did that. And so moving over to LA was definitely a crazy move for me, because I had to, you know, I didn't have any financial standing, or I didn't really know that many people. I knew a few, but I did it. I went over there, slept on some couches, figured it out, and decided that, you know, writing was what I knew how to do. And I've been writing my whole life, and I've been writing in the band, and I know writing can provide for me. It's my art. It's my it sustains me. And so I started writing in LA. I was writing for other people in sessions, in and out. And that led to, like, producers obviously going, oh, your shit's dope. Sorry, your stuff is dope. Honestly, like, are you an artist? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm working on my stuff too. And they'll be like, all right, cool. They come into the session early or stay late, and we would work on stuff. And I would release via TuneCore, like, independently. No one told me that there's a good 6-week window, just for anyone trying to release independently. There's a 6-week window that you should upload to give yourself time to get considered for things. I didn't know any of that. I was just uploading my songs for the next day. co-directing my own videos on $0, you know. But this all skills that helped me
develop.
Yeah, and prepare me. And so I found a great team eventually, an incredible team, and they're with me always. Title Nine is an incredible company, and it's woman owned.
Yeah.
Carmen, I'm gonna shout you out. Yeah. There you are. And she, you know, when we met, I told her where I was at, what I had done, and where I wanted to go, and what I needed. And she is an incredible person. So we partnered, and it's just great to have another woman to mentor you, to guide you, to support you, and to meet you on a creative level and a business acumen level, and in a way that gives you your power, you know, and doesn't take it away. And so we started working together. And when you're around great people, and you have great people in your corner, like good-hearted people, great opportunity shows up too. And that led to an opportunity for me being in a studio. And I ran into Kendrick Lamar. When I say I ran into, it wasn't really like a run in. Like, it was like I was working on my project, my studio, and I turned around and he was there, and I did not know he was gonna be there. You know, but that opportunity presented itself because of the people I was around. That was just really great. And it's an opportunity you pray for. It's the kind of moment that you can only dream of.
Yeah.
And so I played him some of my records that we were working on at the time, because we were working on my projects now officially, not just my independent TuneCore releases. And he really liked it. And that validation was great for me as an artist, you know, from the master of the pen. And, you know, like, that was really an amazing thing to have experienced. And that led to me being invited to work with him and his guys and the producers, Dahi and Soundwave and all of them, on the project. So he had an idea for where I could maybe fit in on something. And that was Die Hard. And that was just such an incredible... I'm so grateful for that opportunity, which led to the Grammy nomination. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And those guys are just the mad, like, you know, you just, they're incredible.
Yeah.
They're incredible musicians and incredible talents and producers. And I'm just grateful to have been able to be in that room. Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. You worked with a goat, man.
Yeah. So that's a very long version of how music happened for me, or is happening for me.
So how long were you in LA, I guess, before you were able to, like, build the team and, you know, start getting into these rooms? Because there's a lot of people probably watching, listening, and just people that I know who've came and been like, man, I was in LA 5 years, dead broke, you know, on a couch. Like, how long was it for you?
Yeah, years. Yeah.
Years.
Years. I was independent for a few years and trying to figure it out before I met Carmen at Title IX, and before I had that opportunity to work with Soundwave and all of them. And
what kept you going through it? Because especially as a woman, people look at you like you're nuts, because you don't have to do this. You know, like, that's that's what I used to get all the time.
But you do have to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I have to do this. Like, music is, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And I'll always do it. And I'll do it when it if it pays me or not. Like, it's not about that for me. It's about the passion. It's about the how it fulfills me. My ability to express and create and to connect and to share and to have moments like this and to inspire and be inspired and to just keep growing and keep working on my craft. I have to do that. I have to do that. So there's no not doing it for me.
Amen to that. I love that. Love the passion. In regards to being in the studio with Kendrick, so obviously it's Kendrick, Drake, Cole. You know, that's the three-headed goat of rap. But did you, like, learn or pick up anything, like, in being in the session with him?
All I could do was just try to absorb. not even that, but I wanted to be a student as much as I could in that room with Kendrick, with Soundwave, with Dahi. Like, I've been trying to absorb as much as I can and learn as much as I can and give the best that I can give, you know, in this moment. Because you are presented with something like that. You're sick to your stomach. You're like, I have to write and what in front of who, you know. But you, like, for me, I just had to give the best I could and then try to learn as much as I could. And I really do feel like it has, that experience has taught me a lot and allowed me to now work on a project that is beyond even what I could have even initially, you know, wanted. And that is a lot to do with their direction and learning from them. And I'm just really grateful for that writing experience and that to be able to be in a room to absorb that sort of mastery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's fire. I think, I didn't know the backstory about the band. I didn't know you come from a band background.
Yeah, from band culture. Very loud. Very, very, very loud culture.
Very loud, but also you're just very familiar with production, you know, and kind of like what you want, lower, higher, add this type of thing. So when it comes into, you said you're making your new project, how involved are you on the production side, or like how is it? What's your process right now?
Oh, man, I have been super blessed to work with some of the best, especially on the heels of the Die Hard record. Mm. And I am still in reverence and in awe of them, you know, being a part of everything. So I have, based on my history in the band and always having written my songs and being in a studio and working with producers and working independently, when you're independent and things aren't given to you and people aren't doing things for you, you have to learn a lot. Resourcefulness is important. And that comes from paying attention. So when I'm in the studio, I'm paying attention. I'm understanding the musicianship. I'm understanding the production on the musical end. But also, I'm working on my own vocal productions. You know, I'm doing my arrangements, my harmonies, and those things. And all of that comes with years of practice. And I didn't start off with all that knowledge.
Right.
But always just trying to be a student in the moment has equipped me with that sort of experience and knowledge that I now apply to my work. Yeah,
that's fire. Is there a name already for the project?
Not yet.
Okay, yeah. It's coming though. I'm excited because this is gonna be your first official solo project, right?
Yes. Wow.
Because everything's just single, or you just keep dropping mad singles. This is your first. So I'm like, what is the statement? I can't wait to hear the name because I know it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I can't wait to share with you everything. And I'm just eager. You know, we're finishing up. But, you know, a lot of the music, too, the music component is so important. And then not only in expressing the music for me, like I told you, like expression for me, period. That's artistic important. Expression, I need to do. And so that also includes visuals. So, like, for this project, that's going to come. You know, we made it a point to really just get rooted in the visuals as well. And go back home to Barbados and work with local creatives. I say it's not that many. It's a few that I wanted to work with, just small handful. And with our small crew and small zeroed up budget, we created all these visuals to kind of give an expression to the music, but from home and from within the culture, supporting the culture, supporting, you know, female-owned boutiques and brands and designers and the local creatives, like I mentioned, that we worked with. And I directed and co-directed all these visuals with as well. And it's really important to me that when people see the visuals that are going to come, they understand that it was a very three-man effort, me being the one of those three men, and wearing all of the hats, you know? It's like hair, it's makeup, it's in front of the camera, behind the camera. It's all of that is not in a big production, but it is intentionally so it's personal, and so that it is from the lens of inside Barbados and how we experience it, not from outside. Oh, it's so beautiful. It is.
Yeah.
But this is how we live life here, and this is where these songs live in the context context of that.
That's,
you know,
dope.
So yeah,
I like that. You're taking us into your world.
Yeah.
Like, literally, right?
Yeah, come visit me. Come to my world. Yes.
Which also, by the way, this might just be a personal opinion, but I feel like overproduced videos are, like, not as great because they're so produced. Like,
yeah,
some of the best things are low quality, because that's when you're really getting, like, people in their most rawest and their most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, personally, I prefer people before they get the budget. Once they get the budget, then it just becomes like fucking.
No, I think resourcefulness. You're right. Like, to be fair, when I personally don't sometimes understand what did you do with that budget, you know. But resourcefulness, you know, like it inspires creativity.
It forces you.
Yeah, you gotta be creative. Okay, well, this is all we have to work with. It forces you to look at things differently and think about different angles and approaches and be creative with how you achieve things. And I can't wait till you can see this stuff, because I would love to tell you all the stories behind it.
Madam, I'm gonna have you back, girl. I'm gonna be asking.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
But talk to me about Real Bitch Juice.
Oh, rich bitch juice.
I mean, rich bitch juice. I'm sorry.
Rich bitch juice. Wow, you went back. You went back and listened to that.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was she on?
I was on my rich bitch juice.
Did you get your first check?
No,
was that like a...
You know what's funny? Rich bitch juice was like an audio mood board for me. Because I didn't have no money when I wrote rich bitch juice. Right? So rich bitch juice was like... Rich Bitch Juice was like, I'm speaking this into my life. It was my affirmation song. It was me knowing that Uber I just took was my dinner for that night. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And I'm like, I don't, you know, I got to speak into my life what it is I want in my life. And so Rich Bitch Juice was actually like one of the producers I worked with, Charlie, on that. You know, he came from one of those sessions I was telling you about. You're writing for other people and you make it. So we did that record, and it's just funny that you asked that, because I did not have a check. I was still fully doing everything on my own. And I just was speaking it into my life. Like, I want to speak success, and I want whoever's listening to that and singing it and playing that before they go out and playing that before they start their day or during their day, when they're singing those words, you're speaking it into your life.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, so.
I need that. I'm about to listen to it every morning, girl. If you see the streams bump up, it's me.
Yeah. It's like your visual vision board, but in audio form.
I love that. No, I think it's important, because music, like what you say, like you said, you're chanting it. That's why, like, certain concerts, I can't rock with certain energies musically. Like, I refuse to be with a bunch of people yelling, "All my friends are dead." Like, I'm just not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all right, let's talk about Crazy. Love the cover art for this, by the way.
Thanks.
Super fly. Did you do the direction of that too?
Yeah.
The cover art.
Yeah.
Wow.
And for Rich Bitch Juice, that was. That was also edited. I edited that cover art as well.
Are you?
And Crazy was a co-collaboration with my I told you about Title IX. She's my partner, my business partner and creative partner. We go back and forth on direction for stuff like that. Yeah.
Y'all did that. Love, love, love. Okay, talk to me about that record. Who did it?
Crazy is on some shit. Crazy is on some shit.
Okay.
Let's be honest. It's fun. It's sexy. It's flirtatious. But it's like, on some attitude, like,
is this the real Amanda? Like, are you giving me the nice girl, but this is the real you?
Everything you get is the real me, but I have different sides.
What's your sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Oh my god! Okay, that makes sense. Artsy, what? Pisces is so fucking artsy.
we can't help it. But yeah, we have our moments when we're on our shit. So Crazy is one of those. And I love Crazy because it's, again, it's just the audacity of it. Like, those lyrics, those, you know.
Spicy.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's important for me that I know that I'm confident and comfortable expressing all those sides of me because they all exist, you know, and in different contexts, maybe. But Crazy is just another one of those sides. And I think that as women, we are so trained to define ourselves in one way or the other, or this or that, or, and I just, after my experience in previously, you know, coming out of a group and all of that, I just don't want to cut off certain parts of myself for another to exist. And I think it's important for us to embrace the idea that all can exist at once and can come out at different times, and that's fine. Like, you can be independent and confident in one moment and strong and boss and you that rich bitch juice, you know, like, and then you can be completely vulnerable and heartbroken, and that's the truth, and you can express that, and that's okay that they can exist in the same world, you know. You can have insights and intuition and knowledge, and you can be spiritual, but you can be sexy and you can be sensual, and you can be the shit, you know. It's all of those things are what make us who we are. Yeah. And to deny one of them for the sake of another is not fair.
It's silly, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that you're saying is things that I'm learning as I grow, too. So I'm like, nah, that's very real.
We in this together.
We really are.
Yeah, we're in this together. And, like, the more we can, I think, talk about these things and share them between us without feeling judged.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I think so, too. And honestly, even just from, like, talking to other artists and influencers, like, we're all like, wait, so is this normal? Because I don't want to do this anymore. You know, right, like, we kind of just outgrow things. But I have to ask this before we play this game. Have you met Rihanna yet?
Yes.
Yeah?
So, the queen, man.
Okay, fire.
I met Rihanna when I was in the band, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, we opened for her in Barbados, and I just am in awe of her and her career, and just, she's so inspiring, just ounce of what she's done. I just, oh my gosh, just, she's also a national hero in Barbados, so she means a lot to my country and to me, and the world, in my opinion. Yeah.
No, we love Rihanna.
Yeah.
Like, that's our girl. We share.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fire. I love that. I feel like, like, when I talk to people from Toronto, it's always like Drake. Mm. So is it the same, like, when you go to Barbados, do you hear a lot of Rihanna?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. And it better stay that way.
That's awesome. All right. I love that. Okay. Let's get into this game. It's called Questions That Need Answers.
Okay.
You just fill in the blank.
Okay.
The older I get, the less I blank.
Oh, the less you blank. Okay, I thought you said the less you blink.
Sorry.
Sorry. Older I get, the less I care how I'm perceived.
Mm. I like that. Just because you're more comfortable in your skin, right?
Yeah, it matters more to me what I think about or feel about me.
I can't believe I actually blinked when I was younger.
I can't believe I actually doubted myself when I was younger.
Mm, I like that. Talk about it. I'm a little embarrassed by the fact that I know so little about blank.
I'm a little embarrassed about the fact that I know so little about the geography of the United States because the way California is so big.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, Milo, I'm sorry, but the way these states are massive.
Yeah.
It's going to take me years, okay?
So what it's not going to take you years.
It is.
Especially once you start touring. You're going to be like, oh, I'm over here now.
No. You don't understand. My island is very tiny, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So this whole, even just New York City, like, yo, I love New York City. And it's just, but there's boroughs and I'm just like.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So the geography, whew,
Let's not talk about it.
That's funny.
I'm insecure about how little I know about American geography, okay?
Don't worry, don't worry. It takes time. I forgot you grew up on an island, so the radius
very
is
different.
Yes.
Very, very different.
Okay, okay. But it's fun though, right?
Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah.
But it's just funny when I'm in LA and my mom is calling me, oh my gosh, are you okay? I heard there was a disaster in California. Oh. And I'm like, that was like in San Francisco. Or yeah. I'm like, it's not the same. And it's just like, learning the geography here is crazy. Yeah.
That's a good one. Sometimes I look back at my life and blink.
Sometimes I look back at my life and give thanks.
Love that. I made a complete fool of myself when I blinked.
Who are you laughing off screen?
The red carpet.
Oh my gosh. So, my first time at the Grammys, nominated at the Grammy. my first time. I was super excited, of course. But like, you know when it's just, you're in a trance, like you don't really, really know what's going on. So we get there and I'm in this incredible gown that I have just never worn anything like it. Like when it touched my body, I was in tears because I couldn't imagine I was wearing something like this. And I'm on there and I'm there with my manager and I just am like, so when do we get on the red carpet, right? Because I'm just excited. This is so cool. I've only ever, and she's like, look down, right?
You were on the carpet?
And I looked down and I was like, oh, so we're on here. Okay, oh, we're on here. All right, cool. So, yeah, I made a fool of myself. Luckily, there weren't that many people to hear me ask that question. We hadn't really gone too far down. But I was on it already for a good long time. A good 10 minutes. Jeez. I was just so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I was just so overwhelmed, okay?
She's like, are we there yet?
Can you imagine the color red not registering to your eyes, okay? So yeah,
that's funny. But how was the Grammys? How was it overall as an experience?
Can I be really honest with you? It's such a blur because I was so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the moment, mm-hmm. and like also just like to be a part of something so incredible, a project so incredible, and to have been given that opportunity. I know that I felt very grateful and I felt excited. And I know that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But it's a blur.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
That's a moment, man.
Yeah.
You only get one first, you know? So
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
My personality trait is blank.
My one personality trait?
I know, girl. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't answer that question. Yeah. My personality trait is complex and diverse.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Last one is, you would never believe me if I told you blank.
Oh, gosh, this is hard. You would never believe me. I have a good one, but I can't use that. You would never believe me if I told you I'm walking around with a sprained toe right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. But the heels had to happen.
Does it hurt?
That had to happen for the outfit. I will suffer for the outfit, and I will suffer for my art. So,
wow,
I'm walking around New York City in 7-inch heels and a sprained toe.
You brought some backup shoes, right?
Nah,
you're a bigger woman than me. All right, there is no way. Shout out to your Instagram, let everybody know where they can tap in and follow you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. Nayla, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm Amanda Reefer. You can find me on Instagram at Amanda Reefer. Yes. On all socials at Amanda Reefer, because that's my name. So, yeah, of course.
Tap in, guys. New music on the way very, very soon.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank
very soon?
Yeah. Oh,
soon.
Literally around the corner.
Literally around the corner.
Literally around the corner.
All right. Talk soon. Peace.